Ready to go live?
We are off and going.
Awesome. So we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. It is 6:37 p.m. and we will start with recording attendance. And we have myself, Rob Gabler is here. Kathy Staley.
Here.
Glenn Thackeray.
Here.
And Suzanne is out, and Kelly Ahmed is out, absent. So we can call the meeting to order, and we will start with item C, approval of the minutes. This would be from the Board of Directors meeting May 10th. And is there any discussion as far as the minutes go? Any questions? Did y'all have a chance to read them?
Can we hold up here for a minute, Rob?
Absolutely.
Rob, you can ask if there's any public comment on this item.
I will ask that right now. Do we have any public comment?
I do not have any emails on any info or board.
Okay. So,
yeah, we're good. Go ahead.
Okay. So do I need to go back and read anything that we already did, or are we good to go there?
Here we go.
Okay.
We're good.
So hearing no questions, no public comment, we just need a motion to approve the minutes of the regular Encore board meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the Encore board meeting.
And a second.
I'll second. Oh.
Awesome. So the motion is passed, and we need a roll call for that would be Robert, Glenn?
Yes, aye.
And Kathy?
Aye.
So the motion passes, and we will move on to the number two operations. We have a concrete bid, estimates for the replacement of concrete slab in the Big Top for Carol Walker.
Yes, good evening, everyone. We need to replace the floor that's in the Big Top. Right now it's asphalt. There's no way to clean it. It's not very safe. So for safety reasons and for sanitation reasons, we need to replace the floor. I believe you received the bid. We're going with Tim Meyer. We have a history with him. He gave us the best bid for our money. And we need to get the board approval so that when it's approved by the federal government, we can move forward with the project.
Okay.
Carol, I have a question about that. I saw that, and I saw the three different bids for concrete, some reinforced, some not reinforced. But if referring to the Big Top, is this like a tent structure or what? What are we looking at?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Denise.
Glenn, it's the, can you turn, Matt? Sorry, we have a whole lot of noise on this end. It's that wondrous thing of Johnny and I being sitting next to each other. It's the structure that we built where the circus takes place, the circus classes and the PE. It's the really large Big Top structure, 10,000 square feet. It's been up for about 7 years. Right now, the floor is asphalt, and the bid is to propose moving that into a smooth concrete. I see that Joe Griffin is also on the meeting here as well to be able to answer what is exactly going to happen with that. But what we ran into is we've got some drainage issues in there, and in light of the sanitation standards that have changed through COVID-19, we want to be able to add this this concrete slab in there so that we have the ability to actually sanitize the space rather than just using the asphalt. And anyone that's been in there knows it's not even something that we can hose down at this point. So we want to be able to get it to where that we can really improve the sanitation standards in the big top itself.
But that's going to involve taking the big top down. Is that correct?
No, we would not be taking the big top down. They would be pulling the asphalt up. Joe, do you want to go into more explanation as to what would be happening within the big top?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. It took me a little while to get logged in, but I'm in. So what's going to happen is the removal of all the asphalt inside of the big top. The problem we have, I don't know if you got into it, excuse me, is all the water and drains off the tent. The big top comes underneath the foundation of it. It was never sealed to the asphalt. So what we're going to do is remove all of the asphalt inside, except for 4 to 6 inches on three sides. And we're going to pour in a raised curb concrete slab. So we'll take out 2 to 3 inches of asphalt and pour in 5 inches of concrete to allow us 1.5 inches above grade. So that'll keep the water off of the floor where all the kids will be performing and exercising. And then that concrete slab will work as a curb and a gutter and divert all of the water around the three sides of the new slab. Then we can sanitize, mop, and clean that area. We don't have to worry about any contamination from the oils in the asphalts, and we can keep the area clean and sanitized.
And it'll be a polished concrete slab like you would see like at Costco. So it's something that we can actually go through and mop and sanitize.
Correct. It's what they call a burn finish.
Okay. Sorry for the asking for the explanation. I was just trying to figure out why we would put concrete on under a tent as opposed to, you know, building some kind of a less expensive flooring situation and whatever. But what you said about the curbing makes a lot of sense, especially if it's going to rain or water runoff. All right. Thank you.
No problem.
My question would be, the bids look kind of different because Tim Meyer put a 5-inch thick and the other two bids, I think, were 4-inch thick. It didn't seem like they were apples to apples bids.
Well, the one from Ann Uno is a 4-inch slab. The one from Tim Myers is a 5-inch slab. The reason he went with a 5-inch slab is because the variation in asphalt, it could be anywhere from 2 to 4 inches. If you don't go with a larger slab, add the extra inch up, there could be an area where we're only 1/2 inch above asphalt. We got to pour some fill sand in, some base, and grade it. If we go with a 5-inch slab, that guarantees us 1.5 to 2 inches above the existing grade.
Okay. Another thing is he didn't put his contractor's license number or his business name in his bid. I'd like to see that and know that he's active as a contractor.
Yeah, no problem. I can get all that information. We actually have it on file. We have all his insurance information. He's the gentleman who did all of our parking lot expansion, and he did all the concrete slabs and the cement for the shade structures.
Okay. So is it possible that we can carry this over to the next meeting pending all that? Because that to me is a huge part of this contract.
Can I get you to just repeat what you'd like to ask for so that I can notate it here in the board meeting itself, and then that way we can get those things to you for the 21st?
Absolutely. His bid is kind of a reply to an email, so I'd like to see a bid from on letterhead with, he's pretty thorough as far as explaining everything, but he doesn't have his license number or insurance or any of that posted in his bid.
Okay.
CSLB.
So I'd definitely like to see that and make sure that it's all up to date and everything.
Okay, so full bid on letterhead, contractor's license, and insurance. Anything else?
That would be awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
I do have his, I guess it wasn't uploaded to the portal in time. Joe did bring me the bid on company letterhead. I am looking for the license. I don't see that, so we would need to get that. But no, it is on here, so I can actually get this over to you like tomorrow.
Yeah, he resent over a new one with the breakdown with his letterhead, license, contract, everything.
I don't know if you can see it, but I have.
You can go and look up that number. You can actually go to the Secretary of State, look up that number.
Okay, so my desire would be to, if it's possible, just bring it, get all that done, make sure his license is valid, everything's good, and then bring it up at the next meeting for the vote.
Yeah, we can definitely add that to the next meeting. I have it listed.
Awesome.
Do we want to forego actually doing a vote on this and then just me notate it that we're moving it to the next board meeting? Is that what you would like?
I would vote at it at the next meeting.
Okay, so then I'll add that notation as well, because I don't want to.
If you want to, you can just, Ashley, you can just say that the item was withdrawn.
Okay.
Do we have to make a motion for that?
No.
Okay, so this item on the concrete bid was withdrawn and it'll be rescheduled for the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay, now I got to get back. So the next one, the next item is Section 3 Finance, and it's an AB 86 Expanded Learning Program. Denise?
Yes, so this particular grant plan has this is the purpose for the special meeting today, is to make sure that we can do all of the reporting for the additional grant funding, which is right about $900,000 for Encore. This has to do with the plans we have for now that the kids are back on campus and now moving forward. They want to make sure that we have plans for working on plugging the learning loss that happened during COVID. And so the state of California is looking for a specific plan on what we plan on doing to make sure that we're filling the holes. One of the requirements for being eligible for this particular grant was that we had to be back in school full session by a deadline date in April. We of course absolutely started school on April 1st, so we qualify for that, for this particular funding. And then as we move forward, this is going to help offset some of the costs that are related to filling in that learning loss. As you go into the plan descriptions, it talks about the different things that we did in order to make sure that we were looking in the right direction. So when we were looking at the types of things that we needed to implement, we looked at the NWEA benchmark data that was taken in January, February, based on some of the feedback that we've gotten from Dick Bray and from HUSD. We did put special consideration in there for English learners and special education students. Since in our year of shutdown, they seem to be, those two populations were the ones that were the least engaged. So we want to start specifically with them. We did have weekly meetings with our teachers throughout this entire ordeal of shutdown, and with different professional developments and teams meeting on Fridays to really help us start to build what we need to do once the school reopens. So we are looking at a group of different things. First of all, we are looking at a portion of this funding going into not only online summer school, but also for in-person summer school. As most of you already know, in years past, we've always had an online summer school portion, but based on the fact that the kids have been online for over a year, we felt that it was important that we offered the courses for in-person, especially for the ones that have not been engaging in that online portion of school. So we are trying to help them make up and catch up, especially for the ones that are failing those particular classes, because the longer COVID took place, the more issues that we were running into with student engagement. So we have 8 teachers that will be providing summer school for in-person, and we have a total opportunity for up to 280 students. We're still enrolling people every single day. They give a call in. We get calls into the school, but it has been slow going. There's still that disconnect because of COVID. So it's going to take a little bit longer than what might than what would have happened in a regular school year. So beyond the summer school, we are also working on making sure that we have additional SPED aids for the period of 1 year starting in the fall to make sure that we can do additional push and pull out remediation in tutoring for our SPED students. And then we're also going to be bringing in two additional instructional aides to work specifically with junior high. I went into a meeting this morning that was talking about team teaching at the junior high level, and we have another meeting on Friday with our junior high team to look at how we can start to plug the holes in regards to those pieces as well. In regards to social emotional learning and social emotional health, specifically coming out of a pandemic, we have realigned our counseling department to where we're changing a couple of the duties for two people that are currently on property working in other capacities. We're going to be shifting them into intern counseling positions. Both of them are in programs at colleges to become school counselors eventually. And they will be working directly with the counselors to help get us a smaller caseload number, and also being able to help the being able to help build social emotional support groups for students, including academic supports, helping them work their way through CTE completion and work-based learning, and then any other areas that we talk about over the coming weeks as we complete the LCAP that will improve the social and academic growth of the students. We have some very targeted professional development plan for next year that's going to be working with plugging the holes in for our teaching faculty. We're using external resources for this targeted growth improvement that's really taking a very specific look at where the holes have come and where they are setting in as the students have disengaged over the course of the year. And then with that, we're also going to be offering workshops to students and parents to make sure that we're helping educate them on how to improve that academic success while we are also working on improving that academic success as a staff. Another thing that we're planning on doing in regards to this grant funding and really just helping plug the hole is that we are updating curriculum in both math and English. And as we make this shift, and you guys will see the adoption for this curriculum probably in next month's board meeting, but we're looking not only for an improved technology-based education, but we're also looking at a curriculum that is specifically going to have larger remediation units, specifically in the areas of EL and being able to accommodate and just being able to hone in on the specific remediation holes that are needed to be plugged based on the lack of engagement, especially as we got toward the end of the school year. And based on the changes that we've already made with our science and history over the last couple years, we will be focusing on that math and English to improve that technology-based education and then also the remediation opportunities. So as a whole, this is what our plans are look like for this specific funding. And we will be adding to that with so many different buckets of funding that have become available this school year in regards to COVID. We've worked very closely, Carol and Johnny and I have worked really close with DMS to really be able to hone in and figure out where everything goes. And especially since there's with so many different buckets there, we've got spending coming from different places as well. So for this particular grant, we've chosen to have this one rely more heavily on the staffing and the academic supports, where some of the other ones have dealt more with the building of like the concrete to make things more sanitary, the HVAC system that we've been working on, and those pieces for COVID sanitation and just being able to improve the overall circulation. So are there any questions that I might be able to answer?
Does the funding for this grant, does it come straight from the state, or we report straight to the state, or does it go through HUSD or the county?
The grant plan goes through the county, and then it is funded through the state.
Okay, awesome. Who's going to be the Encore representative for the grant, managing the grant?
It will go through Paul from DMS and Carol on site to make sure that all of our line item numbers are in line with what is needed.
Awesome. Does anybody else have any questions or comments on this part? Okay, so hearing no other questions or comments, we will need a motion to approve the AB 86 Expanding Learning Plan.
I'll motion.
We have a motion and a second.
Glenn, you're muted if you're trying to talk.
Sorry, I'll second that.
All right.
Thank you.
Awesome, we have a motion and a second. The AB 86 Expanded Learning Programs move forward. We'll take a roll call vote. So Rob, aye. Kathy?
Aye.
And Glenn?
Aye.
And we move forward on that. The next section is other business, the 2021-2022 salary scales. And this was put here by Ashlyn.
Okay, so with all of the changes, with everything that's going on, and the increases that are around us, Encore looked at the surrounding districts, and I've pulled all of those salary schedules that we looked at for you so that you could see Apple Valley, Hesperia, and Victorville's pay scales. One thing I'd like to note is we are removing from this board meeting the hourly salary schedule just till next board meeting, because there are adjustments that we do need to look at and make on that one a little bit further with the changes that are happening in January. You guys are going to be looking at the administrative executive certificated, the charter instructor, because we do have, we still have charter instructors at this time that are under the 5 years for completion of their certification, and then the substitute salary scale. Like I said, we've provided all of the salary scales. I would say we went like mid-range, is that correct, Denise, in regards to where we're moving our salaries? And we've also, if you look at the certificated scale and the executive admin scale, you can see that some of the years repeat. So that way we're still staying within line with the other districts as well. And there are, it does cut off after certain years. Do you have any questions on the salary scales that we're presenting or the salary scales that we looked at?
Yes.
I wanted to add that when we went through specifically with the teacher salary is the one that really has the changes in it. We were working to make sure that we could reinstate that 4% decrease that our teachers had voted on a couple of years ago, so that we could make sure that we could get through the harder times. And so when we went to look at this particular salary schedule, we specifically looked at Hesperia, Victorville, and Apple Valley School District This one aligns pretty close to Apple Valley. HUSD is still probably about 2.5% higher than where we are on this one. And then Victor is about a percent and a half behind where we are sitting with this. So it puts a smack dab in the middle with everybody. Looking at our projected enrollment for the coming years based on the charter, this is something that fits into the budget for the fall. We just felt it was important to really be able to reinstate what we could, because it's exactly what we told our staff that we would do, is that as soon as we could do that, we would work on reinstating their salaries. And so that's where we sit with the schedule itself.
Right. It's hard to look back and forth to schedule. How much is this going to go up, or how much is this going to cost us? And I totally support putting the 4% back. Absolutely.
I think when we went through, because it's not an exact 6% increase, or it's not an exact 8% increase, because we did drag.
We lost you, Denise.
Yeah, I went to drag my screen and I muted you. I'm so sorry. I hit John's button.
So where did I cut out?
A few sentences ago.
Okay. Yeah. So what I was saying was that we don't align specifically with Apple Valley, but we're really close. So it's not something that's an exact 6% increase across the board, because that's just not how it worked out. With the exception on the other salaries that are not the teacher salary, with the exception of eliminating step zero, I think all of the other ones are intact. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one, Ashlyn, but we really didn't spend a lot of time on those ones. We were really focusing on the credentialed teacher salaries. And based on the shift of all of our teachers, our instructors becoming credentialed teachers, we wanted to make sure that all of this made sense as well. And so basically what we did to make sure that it's all going to fit, and it's not just, hey, we came up with this great idea and we're just gonna give everybody a raise. We went through the budget for the next 3 years to make sure that where we are looking at this particular piece makes sense and does fit in with our budget projections based on the more conservative enrollment projections that Hesperia Unified had urged us to change in regards to the charter petition as well. So we've been able to align everything within budget so that we can move forward with restoring the 4% that was dropped, and basically for the most part it's a 4% restore and then a 2% increase to get us to match Apple Valley. Does that sound right, Ashlyn?
Yes. The one thing that's different is not only did we cut out step zero, but we combined the executive admin salary scale. So we eliminated other positions that are one no longer there. And we conformed it to better fit what our situation is / will be. So you'll see the new coordinator tally there. And then the other thing that you can see on there is the drag of year to year with the same pay. So like Denise said, it's not specifically, hey, everybody gets a raise, go for it. It's not necessarily that. There's other changes that were made, like the combination. There were, on the day rate one, there were a couple of things that were repetitious, so we dropped those. And then the charter instructor 2025 stayed exactly the same.
Does anybody else have any questions or comments about this? All right. So hearing none, we need a motion to approve the 2021-2022 salary scales.
I'll
I'll motion.
All right. Got a motion. We need a second.
No, I'm muted. I'll second it.
All right. So we need a vote. Roll call. Rob, aye. Kathy?
Aye.
And Glenn?
Aye.
All right. The motion carries. Down. And that's all we have on the agenda. Any more questions or comments on anything? That's the end of my page. So, all right, well, we can go ahead and close the meeting, and we need a motion to close the meeting.
I'll make a motion to close the meeting.
And a second.
I'll second.
And the roll call. Rob, aye.
Glenn, aye.
And Kathy?
Aye.
Awesome. So we'll close the meeting at 07:08. And I want to thank everybody for taking the time to come out for the meeting.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.